Up next, we are a little ahead of time. Hopefully we do have, we have two people for open public comment meeting, open public comment. I will go to the two that I have on my list right now, and then I'll open up to anyone else in the room. First up, I have Dylan Schrader. If you are online, could you please raise your hand so we can unmute you? Dylan Schrader, if I'm saying your name correctly. We'll come back to you. I'll go to Vito Giacalone if you're there. Please raise your hand, Vito, so we can get you unmuted. Are you there, Vito? We do see you online. I think we have you muted on your end. Okay, while we work through that, Vito, if you can get up and running, are there any other folks in the public that would like to make a comment related to the work that the council does?
Pete, I need 2 minutes. Can you hear me, Dan?
Sure, I got you now. Thank you, Vito.
I'm sorry about that. No, I was hearing you. Literally, I had 15 minutes here to swing mats for the Blasters and an excavator, and this is exactly when you called on me, so I apologize. I'll be very brief if you still want to take it, or do you want to wait?
No, please go ahead. Thank you.
So we had submitted the Northeast Seafood Coalition a letter, just a one-pager, basically requesting an idea of the timing on the council priority that about international fisheries that included TMGC specifically on our end that we're looking at. And also, I believe in that priority at the end there lists the revisiting or consideration of the reapportionment, you know, biomass apportionment that's been improved, I will say, sensibly for the setting for the 2026 catches. We call it the 2025 TMGC. We're hoping that that is going to be further refined by considering some way to weight the commercial performance. There seems to be too much of a disconnect there between the two. And we do realize 100% right from the beginning that they are not apples to apples comparisons when we look at the proportional catch of the U.S. Between East and West and the biomass apportionment. We understand that those are totally different. But when they're very lopsided, we need to at least look at it. So we're hoping that there's at least another thought to look at this deeper in time for the next round of TMGC information that will start coming out. And we also note that there is a management track assessment scheduled in June, I believe, for Georgia's Bank Haddock. Maybe another opportunity to at least through TORs to have some of the biological implausibility things looked at there, as raised excellently in your executive committee letter of November, I believe it was, 2024. So anyway, those are the key issues for us, and also industry involvement in any way, rather than just being having it reported, you know, in the listening sessions. It would be great if there's any consideration of how to weight potentially the commercial performance of the fishery and proportional performances, a way to have a discussion on ways to do that. We recognize that can't be done internal to the model, but the apportionment seems to be something that can be revisited. And I guess the intersessional will discuss that. Also, the whole interim management process that we have in the absence since 2023 of a track. If we don't have a bilateral science advice coming out of a track, it really does put the TMGC in a difficult position. So when we have big disconnects between Canadian science and U.S. science, we just want to make sure we don't continue to have problems there and you folks aren't able to reach agreement with the Canadians because of the big disconnect. So those are the primary things. It's, you know, the letter basically begs for some industry at least listening or being involved in the issues that will surround some of these changes. So that's basically it. And thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I have to commend also the working group on the risk policy. Those were excellent presentations by Megan and Jonathan. And I feel like at least the spirit of this is, has the potential to go in a positive direction. So thanks again.
Thank you, Vito. I appreciate your comments. And we did receive your letter, obviously. Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. Yes, we received the correspondence. The council did set a priority for 2026 to work with our partners at the Science Center to consider more changes to the apportionment methods, the biomass apportionment methods, the TMGC. I don't have a further updates on TMGC today. Thanks.
Thank you, Kate.
Sorry, Vito. Thank you.
Yep.
Up next, we have come back to Dylan Schrader. If you're out there, please raise your hand so we can get you unmuted. Okay, I don't see Dylan out there right now. I do see another hand here. Erin Burke?
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Hi, my name's Erin Burke. I am the program manager for the Protected Species Program at the Division of Marine Fisheries, and I wanted to give you a quick update about some on-demand fishing work that DMF is doing this season. In addition to supporting on-demand testing that takes place during the trap closure through the Science Center's exempted fishing permit and DMF's letters of authorization, DMF also recently received in January of 26 our own exempted fishing permit.
We lost you there, Erin, if you're still there.
Federal. Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
We have two fishers who are going to be on DMF's EFP fishing this close season, and our program is a little less data collection intensive than the Science Center's EFP. It's more of a, you know, next step for fishermen who have experience with the gear and are looking to do sort of more standard kind of operational style on-demand fishing. But I wanted to tell you also about an on-demand grant program that DMF has for both fixed and mobile gear fishers. So we're providing reimbursements for on-demand related equipment or services up to $35,000 for fixed gear fishers and $6,000 for mobile gear fishers. So on the mobile gear side, we're looking to help vessels get the software and the equipment they need to use the on-demand visualization technology that's out there to be able to see any on-demand gear that's near them on the seafloor. So I can put into the chat our website where there's information about that program, and the grant applications are there as well. We've had about 6 mobile gear fishers utilize that program to date, but we're looking to get the word out to others in the industry to, you know, try to alleviate those costs, to get them set up with this technology and to minimize gear conflict. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Burke. Please do not put anything in the chat. If there's something you want us to distribute to our membership or the wider audience, please send it to Dr. O'Keefe directly.
Roger.
Thank you. Next up, Dylan Schrader, are you there this time?
Yep.
I gotcha. Go ahead, please.
I would like to bring to the attention of the council the fact that IFQ vessels, every pound that they harvest needs to be under quota when, you know, it kind of negates the state exemption program for Massachusetts state scalloping or other places. But, I think that a program should be utilized as such if you're going to pay the money to have the permit. And, you shouldn't have to fish it under quota because you're in an open fishery program. That's it.
Thank you for your comment, Dylan. Back to the public. Is there any other folks that want to participate in the public comment process for the council? Seeing none, thank you all for those that did participate in the public comment. We've take your comments diligently, and we will think about that in our next deliberations as the council moves through its processes. We are a little ahead of schedule. We have holistic strategic planning at 10:30. I would like to call a break until 10:30, so then we will get a presentation from Brett Weedoff. So see you back in 19 minutes. Thank you.